Okay, now let's talk.
We are back on the record at 10:16. Go ahead.
Thank you. Now let's tackle agenda item 5B3, case 1918, Robert D. Stefano, PT.
So complaint 1918, Robert D. Stefano, you have a long list of the involvement that Mr. Stefano has had with the board regarding his 2014-2016 non-compliance with continuing education and non-compliance with two subsequent board orders.
And then if I'm reading this correctly, his certificate of license lapsed and now he's reapplying.
So the process, well, what has got it to this point is that Mr. DiStefanato failed to renew his license by August 31st. Okay. And so he was put in the administratively suspended status. He contacted my office via email requesting that if he just did the things he didn't do for the last 4 years, could he get a license, where that prompted us to open the complaint for noncompliance on the previous board order. To this date, is to the best of our knowledge, he has not attempted to reinstate just yet.
Can we continue this until he does?
You can do whatever you would like.
I'm just a little confused about this. You know, what's our options here?
Ms. Hunter, members of the board, you still retain jurisdiction over him. He was still on the consent agreement. There's issues regarding his noncompliance. So those are still before you. He has not attempted to resolve his issues from being on administrative suspension. So you can move forward with the case. The problem is if you delay it, then we have noncompliance out there and...
If he gets to the three-year mark, he would move from your jurisdiction and become expired, and then you'll have no action against his
license. So he has completed continuing education for...
Well, he has presented with 31 hours.
Okay.
But he has help him for the 20 hours he was deficient, correct. But it's not enough for the previous compliance period.
So if he were to apply for his license to be reinstated?
He would be short continuing education hours because he wouldn't be able to use them in both situations.
Mm-hmm. I moved to forward this to an informal hearing.
I think, we've given this gentleman an ample opportunity. I think...
Wait. Do we have a second?
Yes.
Thank you.
We should, even though it is suspended, I think we should just go for a formal hearing. We've given him plenty of opportunity. He has said whatever he needed to say to get the board to go along with him and delay, and now he's thinking about coming back and practicing again, and I really have no confidence that we won't see him in the future for further noncompliance based on the history for us.
So we have to have some bad things happen to him.
Yeah, so I think for me, I would, personally, I'm just done with trying to work with the gentleman. The board has always worked with licensees who communicate issues as they come up. And I just don't see it here. That's why I would like to see it go to a formal where we could really, we have the full options of discipline available to us.
Not a bad idea.
Comments?
We have a motion on the floor for an informal hearing. You can take that vote. If it fails, you can do another motion. You're still in discussion.
I mean, he did reach out to board staff. You know, a lot of times they don't do anything and then come to the board and say, give me another chance. So, but you're right. I mean, I'm still in favor of an informal.
Just for clarification, the formal, are you considering more for a punitive option or
civil penalty?
I think both. I mean, when you waste the board's time and agree to orders and you don't complete them, you know, I think the civil penalty comes into mind, and also revocation is a possibility. You know, this may get his attention and have him before us so he could explain in better detail and could have a much further discussion, you know, fruitful discussion with the licensee. That's why informal just doesn't strike me as the way to go.
Has there ever been precedence for previous continuing ed, but also showing for the current compliance period?
Because he has to reinstate, he would have to show it.
Okay.
It would be a requirement of reinstatement.
So he's got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. He does. And okay. He has not paid his civil penalty.
Okay.
And then, members of the board, as far as what would be before you, I know it's intertwined with his trying to remove
himself. Which he has not done.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But he has not paid the civil penalty. He hasn't completed all the terms of that consent agreement. So those narrow factors would be before you. And then you would have all disciplinary options. And then if he chooses to go forward and try to cure his administrative suspension, then that would be subject to all the board's process and statutes regarding that.
Okay. I'm in favor of a formal hearing.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table to move to an informal. Let's call.
Mr. Greer?
No.
Dr. King?
No.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
No.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
No.
The motion fails.
Okay.
I move that we look at a formal hearing.
We need a second if that's a motion.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Thank you. Any additional discussion? I think we're ready for the vote.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
No.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
No.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, next let's move on to 5B4, case 1921, Ashley Burton, PTA.
So case 1921, this is your first of probably many that are going to come before you. So we'll just kind of try to set the stage for you, which I hope I've done in each one. But this individual applied to become part of the compact. Once the compact license has been granted, which is an automatic process through the compact, then they can come and work in the state. We don't have any knowledge if they're here, if they're not here, okay? In this case, in order for them to get a privilege, it is the requirement that they perform, that they successfully pass the AZ law exam prior to a testing, that they have completed that in order to receive the privilege. They have to do this twice in that application process. in order for the system to automatically issue the privilege when they say, yes, yes, I've taken and passed the Arizona jurisprudence exam. And all of the three cases that are coming up before you and more that will be coming after them, they have not done so at the time that they have received the privilege.
Mm-hmm. So is it possible, since they basically lied, to revoke their privilege?
Thank you. So your options are only two. Your only options is to continue to grant them the privilege or to move them, and if I misspeak, you're going to help me, to a formal hearing, if you wish, in order to remove the privilege from them. That removal of the privilege will make them invalid, I believe, for 2 years to obtain the privilege again.
In Arizona?
In this state only?
In all states that they have a privilege.
Oh, that's great.
And what I have done is provide that information on each applicant about the privileges. You'll have one, when we get to it, one is a physical therapist that are actually licensed in multiple states. It does not change the licensures, only the privilege.
Is it considered disciplinary?
It will be considered disciplinary action to, well, that's a legal question.
Yes. all right, let me kind of back it up a little bit. I would like to read into the record what the statute states, because these, again, are the first cases that have come before you. Just as a pause, it's unfortunate that prior to granting the privilege, there is not some mechanism in place for the Federation or that compact licensing entity to double check, because there's a laundry list of things that an applicant needs to provide to be able to grant the privilege. Passing the jurisprudence exam is one of those, in addition to the fees. So this is on the same footing as paying the fees. If the fees weren't paid, you wouldn't be able to grant. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, from what I've been in discussion with Ms. Donahue, Dr. Donahue, is that there is no mechanism. There's no mechanism to validate the answers. So now this is the case that we have before us. What your statute states is a licensee providing physical therapy in the remote state is subject to that state's regulatory authority. So again, anybody that's coming in on the compact has to comply with our laws and both the laws and the rules. A remote state, in accordance with due process and that state's laws, may remove a licensee's compact privilege in the remote state for a specific period of time, impose fines, which I would interpret as civil penalty, or take any other necessary actions to promote the health safety of its citizens. The licensee is not eligible for a compact privilege in any state until the specific time for removal has passed and all fines are paid. So it states, if a licensee's compact privilege is removed, in any remote state is removed, the individual shall lose the compact privilege in any remote state until all of the following occur. And that is the specific time for which the compact privilege was removed has ended, all fines have been paid, and 2 years have lapsed from the date of the adverse action. So there is this 2 years that's placed on that. So at this point, we have an individual that failed to meet the actual requirements of obtaining that privilege. So those are what options you have. Because a removal of a licensee's compact privilege is probably on equal footing as a revocation, this would be something in accordance with due process that you'd have to do at a formal hearing.
So, Ms. Baskin, what? So, if we go ahead with the formal hearing and her privileges are removed, is she, or anyone, able then to go to another state and go through the normal process of getting a license there?
Okay.
Or a certificate.
That's correct. They can go through the normal endorsement process as they could here, mm-hmm. if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
I'd move to take this into executive session for legal advice.
Oh, yes. Great.
That's a second?
Yeah. Second.
Okay, we need a
So Mr. Greer
yes.
makes the motion. Dr. King seconds. Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Vestio?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
We'll go into executive session at 10:30.